You Can't Clip My Room, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
Okay, guys. Hold up. I got to do something. Give me a second, y'all. Now, there we go.
Principal insurance. You wouldn't need that at all. So when you factor, when you add all of that up, that's a total cost to the city of $170,000. So we're looking at structuring this so that it is a 15-year duration. So that means if a person would come in, qualify for this, and pay the monthly note every month for 15 years, at the end of that 15 years, this property would be theirs. We hand over a title to it, and it's theirs. Now, we're not looking to rent this at all. The goal is home ownership. It's not for rent. And not everybody is cut out of a home. Some would be more comfortable and more suited to renting, but this is homeowner because once you're here, you are responsible for maintaining that home. You're responsible for maintenance, you're responsible for repairing things after it breaks. If things are broken, you repair it. If the garbage disposal, there, if the dishwasher breaks, you replace it or repair it. So, same thing with the air conditioning system. If the toilet stop up, you know, you're a homeowner. That's all your responsibility. However, most have rented most of their lives. They're not accustomed to doing it. They're just accustomed to calling the landlord, and the landlord sends somebody out to do the repairs. So, for folks like we would try to encourage persons who are entrepreneurs and have some skills to start a business, and they could now be handyman and go around to these new, these 20 new homes and help them out. If you sink a spot up, and I can pay it out, and you would pay it. So we could actually launch some businesses in that neighborhood and to do exactly that. So that's how it goes. Now, if you pay $170,000 and you divide it by 15 years, and then you take that and divide it by 12 months, what you get is a monthly payment of $950 a month. Now, from the top 20 months, it tells us that average monthly rent for a two-bedroom place, apartment or they're renting a home, is about $870 a month.
Mm.
So as you see, that's less than $100 difference. For $100 more, you could actually have a three-bedroom home.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you add in your insurance, depending on how much it is, that might be close to maybe $1,000 a month at the most,
right.
Maybe a little bit over that. But this we have to keep in mind, you're not renting. This will be your home in 15 years. And you know how quick 15 years go by.
That's right. Absolutely. And if you're a young family, that's great. But even if you're middle-aged and owned a home.
Exactly.
This would be an opportunity.
Exactly.
So, and you're not straddled a 30-year mortgage. It's just 15
years. That's right.
And some folks aren't ready to stay in one place for 15
years. That's true.
They won't be ready to establish roots and drop an anchor.
Exactly.
You know, so as I stated earlier, home ownership is for everybody.
That's right.
And it's not, and every person reaches that at a different stage in life, you know. So, but you intended first-time homeowners.
Yeah.
We want to help launch these folks to where they now generate some wealth and they have something to pass down whenever they choose to move on.
So, in other words, like a 21, 22, 23-year-old, average in 15 years, by the time they turn late 30s, middle 30s, they own a home. I mean, who can do that? I mean, not 30s, I'm sorry. 50, yeah, about, yeah, late 30s, they'll be owning their own home. Who can say they can do that? That's, to me, that's fantastic to be able to do that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. Now, let's talk about the money part.
Uh-huh.
$950 a month plus your homeowner's insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Okay? We're talking about $1,000 a month going towards one item, your house. Typically, apply for a mortgage. A lending company wants to see that your mortgage note is about 25% of your income, and usually that's at the top level. Okay? They want to make sure that you will not default on this. So if 25% of your income can go towards paying your mortgage, you're likely to keep the house and not have it foreclosed on you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, if that's the case, then we have, I'm going to use a round number, 1,000. If we have 1,000 a month, then we need that 1,000 a month to, for these folks to safely be in there, we need that to be 25% of their income.
Mm-hmm.
So if you divide that 1,000 by 0.25, that means they're making $4,000 a month.
Okay.
That's 12. That's $28,000 a year. Okay? Now, very few of our folks are making $48,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few.
That's so, right.
So how do... So that's the criteria for getting a mortgage. How do we provide affordable housing, home ownership, for persons who's making less than $28,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is how we do it. The city has to be willing to invest in itself,
mm-hmm.
or some very generous billionaires who $3.5 million is just pocket change for them,
mm-hmm.
would have to have a heart to say, I will put up the money for this. I will fund this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, we don't have that in Alexandria. Okay?
Okay.
So that comes down to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we could do this for folks that's making $48,000, let's just round it up, less than $50,000 a year, that would be ideal. Now let's take a scenario. Let's look at a minimum wage household. Okay, so minimum wage is $7.25 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 52 weeks in a year,
mm-hmm.
and they were working full-time, 40 hours a week, that gives you 2,080 hours, okay, in a year, work hours. That is only $15,080 that individual is making.
Yep.
You would never be able to afford a home. All right? But let's say there's two in that household, and they are a family unit, and they both have minimum wage jobs. Well, now you multiply that times two, and their household income is $30,160. Now, ever since COVID and a lot of other things occur, we see families recombine. You know, might have had a person that left at their own apartment, but now they were struggling, so they back in with mom and dad. You know, or you may see siblings sharing a home together and raising their families in the same home. And so, in a case like that, you could actually get three persons at minimum wage who would be in there, and now that household income is $45,240.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's not so bad of a situation where you can actually afford the home. Okay? So so there would be some things like that. The other thing is, it's amazing how some of these folks can rent a place for $800 a month and still stay there and maintain. I run across them all the time in my district, and stuff, they're struggling, failing, and they are really hustling to make those make ends meet. But they're doing it. They're making it meet. So if they can do the same thing here, they would actually be generating some wealth as opposed to just paying rent, move out, and you got nothing.
Mm-hmm. Not leaving nothing behind.
Right. Now, let me say this. This program would work that way. You're not going to come in to this and stay there until you can't pay and have to be evicted. You leave with nothing. The only way you leave with something is completing that 15-year term.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 14 years, you get nothing. And, you know, you go 14 years and 11 months, you get nothing. You go the entire duration, and that's how the contracts
would
be drawn up.
Mm-hmm. Or to get foreclosed.
You generate no equity until you reach the end of that 15th year, and then everything turns over to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you leave prior to that, then you leave with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
if you think about that, they would make it happen. They would be very happy for it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how this is structured financially.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is, remember earlier on a slide, I highlighted NACA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Neighborhood Association of America. Let me tell you how they play into this. NACA is one of those organizations that was funded by a millionaire or something like that, and he gave them an infusion of money to go and help people who cannot get a mortgage actually get a mortgage and own a home. And after that first infusion of cash, they've been operating on it. Now, I first learned of this organization after Hurricane Katrina. As I mentioned earlier, they originated in Boston, Massachusetts. But after Hurricane Katrina, when 250,000 homes were damaged, and so many of them, like mine, were just totally wiped out, folks were struggling to get homes. They actually came down to New Orleans and low to moderate income families, and they're trying to make them home. And so what that does is they will structure monthly payments to meet your income, because their goal is you to own a home. All right? So NACA could take one of the family units and go through their application process, and if NACA accepts them and grants them a mortgage, then essentially the city, the enterprise fund, get our money right away. And now NACA is the mortgager and not the city of Houston. And so that money NACA is giving us by buying the home and holding the mortgage title to it, we now have that $170,000 back, and we can go put it into another home. NACA would be a very critical point for the person who would be making less than $50,000 a year. That would help them match that. So as to where their monthly note is only 25% or less of their monthly income. So they still have money for vehicle, for clothing, to pay their utilities, to pay their taxes, and to do other things. You know? So that is a key component of this. This program does not end on NACA's participation, but it certainly enhances this program. Okay, that was a lot in one city. Do you have any questions?
Okay, let me see. Yeah, that was clear. It says, Matt says, Reddick said they can't. A couple that married can. They say people got to get together and raise the money and just get dividends off the money every month. It would take some work. Let me see what else. You guys, if you want to call in at 563-999-3576. 563-999-3576 if you want to actually talk. Matt doing a lot of talking. Matt, come on and call in. He says impacts kids and graduation rate, also setting it up. I'm setting it up. Red X is going to kill the generation of people. He knows, just like they do when the electric, I guess that's what he was saying. He said, let's see. If you guys, please forgive me if I don't get everything you say, because I'm doing two things at one time, so I can't look at the chat at the same time. People say, good evening, everyone. Thank you, Angela. I had asked, answered the question that you asked. I mean, that you asked, you answered it. Good evening. Hey, Linda. Patricia. Hey, Miss Patricia. That must be what this property behind me is, okay? And she's talking that it still has an echo. I'm sorry. I can't control that. Okay. It impacts kids. That's all. She said good evening, everybody. Everybody saying good evening. I'm trying to go back. All right, you guys. So make sure you guys can go ahead and go to the next slide. I hope you guys can hear. I apologize that everything is reversed, because I couldn't get it where I can reverse it where you can see it. But Mr. Porter is explaining it as we go, so that's much easier. So don't get so distracted by the idea that everything is reversed, okay? All right, thank you. Okay, we're going to talk about vacant property. Is that what you want to talk about next?
You're talking to Nat?
No, I'm talking to you now.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to mention something to Mr. Porter before he goes on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Porter, you know, after Katrina, remember the billionaire from Canada that came down to Simsport and built up and had all those homes out there?
Yes.
Okay, that part, I don't know what it looks like now, but he had that so nice, and the way he had it, I had that porch, the back porch of the yellow house was gorgeous. The front porch was gorgeous. It was really nice because we would go down there, Brian Hill would go down there every week and have Bible study with him and bring those people up. But that man had, when they went into those houses, he had everything furnished. You go into the bathroom, there's a towel, toilet paper, everything you need. When you went into the kitchen, the food, the things, it was like a full house. All they needed to do was bring some clothes. They didn't have no notes to pay. They didn't have utilities to pay. They didn't have food to pay. But the man, the deal was, the man said he was going to give them 5 years. And in 5 years, she should have made some progress. And of course, he had protection because the city of Newport said they have police to cover those people from New Orleans, and then he called them for names. But anyway, so he hired a police, so they had their own police out there. And it was absolutely beautiful. He did a baseball field. He built a community center. And he did a fish farm. He had a garden for those who wanted to learn how to garden, and a lot of them enjoyed that because they said they had never seen that before. But he told them it was going to be 5 years. Red Creek, Country Creek. Now, they're getting all this money from FEMA.
Right.
After 5 years, you could either buy the trailer home or you could, you know, you had to move. So when 5 years was up, the majority of those people act a fool on the news. They were saying that, see, they set up all the money that they got from me. They were saying that they didn't have enough time to get themselves together. So after 5 years, you know, well, I think a lot of them had to move. And I just thought it was just kind of sad that this man came down and did all of this, and these people didn't appreciate having not to pay rent, utilities, or food for 5 years with all the money that they were receiving.
That you read from the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
and I tell you that has so much promise. It was if just the black community could come together and donate into that fund,
mm-hmm.
so we can improve the lives of our own people. So we have to be generous, and we would have to take a whole bunch of us
mm-hmm.
money into that $3.5 billion fund,
mm-hmm.
just so another household could own a home.
That would be a wonderful idea.
Yeah, that way, you know, we're helping ourselves. That's wow. That would be great if we could actually do that.
Exactly.
You know, imagine 10,000 of us would be able to put up $300, $400, $500.
Yeah.
Not everybody would have that. And just say, my donation to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I know what it's going towards. It's going to allow these other folks who are low to moderate income actually become a homeowner. Something beneficial to the community. The net item is that your mortgage is fixed. It's fixed for the next 15 years. It's not going up. It's not going to change. Okay? So now imagine if you were going to rent for 15 years. At the end of every a lease, you're faced with the possibility of your rent going up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then at the end of that lease, if you signed a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year lease, you have the same thing. Here, for 15 years, you know exactly what your monthly note is. And if you've got a little extra money, you put it on the side so you can make that next note.
Exactly.
And like I keep saying, homeownership is not for everybody. This program is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to vet people so thoroughly that we know these folks are going to be here for the next 15 years.
Yeah, we need to take that chance.
Keep this program going where they're paying their monthly notes. It's going back into the enterprise fund. And when we get another $170,000 built up, we're recycling that. We're turning that over and building another home. You know? Now, the reason it won't last for perpetuity is that prices go up. So the $170,000 home that we could build this year, next year it might be $180,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the year after it might be $190,000. And so it's going to eat into your enterprise fund.
So that's why you have to have it continually coming in. You have to have extra money, not only just the recyclable money, but you have to have extra money coming into that fund to hold it when that happens.
That's right, to try and keep it at the 3.5 million. But most of it would be coming in through the monthly payments.
Exactly.
So those are some of the many benefits. All right. You want to move on to obtain vacant property? We got that.
Yeah, we already talked. Yeah. Did we already talk about the vacant property already? Okay.
No, I'm going to just go through that definition. All right, so vacant property is a property that the structure has been unoccupied for 90 days or more. Now, it could still be in good condition, but no one's lived in it for over 3 months. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, so the next slide.
You see that?
Okay. So if it's unoccupied for 90 days, but it could be in sound structural condition, and it's not being foreclosed on. It's not that the folks missed their payments. And the property taxes are paid. It's not under adjudication. The utilities are still connected and in service, and the property is being maintained. So, those are some of the things. When we're referring to vacant property, that's what we're talking about. Okay, now the abandoned property is a bit different. A home is abandoned when a mortgage or the tax foreclosure proceedings have been initiated. So that means the folks stop paying their mortgages, they stop paying the property taxes, they stop maintaining, even though it's in their name or the family's name. The mortgage, the tax payments, all of that has not been paid in the last 90 days, and the property could be vacant, but it could also still be on. Folks might just be living and just stop paying.
Okay.
Okay, so some of the issues there that would be delinquent on their mortgage payments, delinquent on her property taxes, behind on the utility payments, and then maybe they may have actually moved out, you know, and then it could be under foreclosure. As when banks have stepped in to retain home this one.
Okay.
Okay, so now, dilapidated property. This is different. The structure is considered dilapidated when it has fallen to major repair due to age, due to weather, decay, deterioration, neglect, storm damage. Maybe there were some problems interior like leaking roofs or a water pipe that had burst. A sink that overflowed, you know, so it could be a host of reasons. The structure no longer meets the current building code, and it continues with no one taking care of it, it continues to fall into the end. Next slide. Okay, so you have the 11th property. What you have is major deterioration, structural decay, might be rotting, maybe falling in, maybe caving, significant wear and tear, and it's not really salvageable. It's not like you can go in there and renovate it, go in there and rebuild it. It's really in bad shape. And sometimes, even in that condition, they're still occupied.
Mm-hmm.
Original owner or the owner may have rented it to somebody in that deplorable condition. And we have quite a bit of that in my district.
This too, Mr. Ford. It's sad. People are living and you just wonder how some people just moved out the house in this neighborhood where the tree was actually coming up through the house. I just don't know how to sit there and live there for that long. They have moved now, but the tree coming up through the house, and people was, oh my goodness. And it was just our best.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he just moved, but he was in that house, and the roof was falling down. Oh, it was a sad sight to see. It really was.
Yeah, and that's why something like this is important. I mean, we're only talking 20 homes, right? So just in one area of my district, from A Street to Mill Street, from Bringhurst to Dallas, I have over 100 properties that fall in this situation, either blighted, abandoned, vacant, or dilapidated.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's 100 just in that one segment. So 20 homes is just a drop in the bucket. But what it does, it can jumpstart the renewal of a declining neighborhood. Because
yes,
just like I described, you put that property there and you put a really conscientious family household in there who takes pride in their home. They're willing to maintain it. They're willing to keep it looking nice. They are grateful to be there, and they will constantly strive to make their payments. That changes that area. It lifts up the property value, you know? So it has tremendous merit that it does. Okay, so blighted property is a structure considered blighted when it exhibits objectively the terminal signs of deterioration, and it constitutes a threat to public safety and to health. So it's like a tinderbox that could catch fire, okay? So that's the safety hazard. It's in such poor condition, the next storm or high wind could take cars off of it and deposit it into other people's homes or yards and stuff like that. It's in a situation that you don't want anybody around it because it's up to fall in, leaning over and fall on a neighbor's fence, or depending on how close it is, fall on a neighbor's house, things like that. So that kind of light, we typically gets to the top of the list. To be very honest with you, one that can't find here, they automatically go to the top of the list for demolition. And we try and get that out of the way before the hurricane season, because when the high winds come through, it'll be taking those fragments of of material and just launching it like missiles through the air. So that's why we try to get to the blighted property first as a priority. All right, the next slide. Okay, so we mentioned deterioration. It's mechanically, structurally unsound. It poses a safety risk, a health risk, and it's definitely not habitable. People should not be living in it. But sometimes we find folks as squatters, and we also find some people harboring pets in there. We run across all sorts of things like that. All right, so now, adjudication. A property becomes adjudicated when the owner has not paid property taxes in 3 years. And that's when the city steps in and take over the property. So when you hear the term adjudication, that's what it meant. They are delinquent on their property taxes. It has gone on for a period of time, usually 3 years. Sometimes we don't get around to adjudicating a property after 5 or 6 years. Because it's a frequent, it's a common issue for us here in Alexandria. But the city takes control of it. Now we're responsible for cutting the grass, picking up trash. If it's falling down, we need to go demolish and polish it. Things like that. If it's not falling down, we need to get in there and board it up. So it becomes a major expense for the city. We keep sinking money into it. So that's why this proposal helps to recoup some of that money and also get those expenses off of our hands. If we can erect the home, put the right family in there, they take care of it, that means the city's not doing that anymore. So all across the board, there are benefits. All right, so you remember I talked about the neighborhood stabilization program. So that's where a lot of this comes from, where the program is to go in and demolish the blighted residences and to rehabilitate the structures that can be rehabilitated, and then to find occupants for the vacant homes. So you may have some vacant homes that's really okay. It just needs some remodeling, some renovation, some repair. And then I can barely see that.
Which one?
The fourth one.
The fourth one says establish land bank for foreclosed properties.
Right. So all of these properties we have adjudicated or foreclosed, we put them in what we call a land bank. So that now we have this list, a compilation of properties, and we can try and find persons to own it, to purchase it, or to move into it. So that would be taking all of that and putting it together in what we would call a land bank.
And the last one says, build new affordable homes on vacant lots.
Items, that's part of the neighborhood stabilization program. What I took is item number 5, build new affordable homes on the vacant lots. And that's what this is about.
Okay,
next slide. All right. So it's not likely you're going to get developer to come in and do it. Because as we talked about, the pricing, the cost, the developer would need to make a profit off of that $170,000. So that means they would have to add on to that, maybe add $20,000, $30,000 to the sales price. A mortgager would be charging interest, so that would increase the monthly note. So we're not able to do that for order people who are making less than $50,000. So how do you fund something like this? Well, if you can get HUD, to the Housing and Urban Development, to give you a grant, you can do it. But their grants have many, many restrictions. And if we can get the state to do it, and the state does have the Louisiana Housing Corporation, but once again, they have some very strict guidelines on how you can use the money and who can qualify for these loans. And then you have charitable grants. Okay, so those are some ways you can do it outside of the lending institutions and the developers.
And then
the other way,
the last one was,
if we do it ourselves.
Yeah.
The city taxpayer funds this, and that's what I'm trying to do with the enterprise fund. This $3.5 million would come out of our general fund balance. We would set that aside in this fund. That's all taxpayer money. That money from you and I, all of us, that's what we would use it for. Because it's not likely that somebody can come into a declining neighborhood and put up houses like that.
Yeah.
It would have to be us. We would be the ones investing in our own city, investing in our own neighborhoods, and investing in our own people. You know, that's going to have to be us who do that. Next slide. All right. So, on the enterprise fund, so we track, as I mentioned at the very beginning, not break even, but it's supposed to be. The zoo does not break even, and the golf course does not break even. So, these enterprise funds, they lose money, and we're constantly making a transfer from one fund to another. And it's this transfer of money through these funds that supplement and buoy these other entities to keep them afloat. Otherwise, they would sink, you know. But that's what's happening. That's how we're operating right now. Next slide. Yeah, we got three buses over the last 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, one is a 40-foot bus, one is a 35, and one is a bus with the handicap things on it, where they can lift the wheelchairs and.
Yeah, a lot of people depend on those buses. That's the only transportation that they have.
That's right, and that's why. Enterprise fund. That's something that we just have to bite the bullet on and continue funding. And let's talk about that just for a minute. Our poverty rate is high in Alexander.
Yes.
We're approaching almost 15%. Okay. So because we have such a large indigent population, they rely on public transportation for their mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And also, because we have such a large indigent population, a lot of the businesses rely on their low labor, minimum wage labor. So if we didn't have a public transportation system, those low wage earners would not be able to get to these businesses. You know, they would have to walk, pedal, bike, hitchhike, or whatever, you know. And so it's a necessity for our size. And our time is spread up. It's not like we can walk from one end to the other in a matter of minutes. You know, we're spread out. So it's something we need. And we have to just bite the bullet and continue funding.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, so municipalities as well as nonprofits can apply for these grants from the Housing and Urban Development, from the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, and they are for properties that will benefit the low and moderate, and they even go up middle income persons. Now, I cut it off for this program. I cut it at moderate. See, now that's one of the things with HUD, because HUD, they could go all the way to 70,000, you know, household income. Well, those persons can sweep in and they take advantage of this because they'll meet the criteria. But the people are really trying to help, people who really can benefit from this and generate some wealth, it was in the low and moderate income things, not the middle income. Because the middle income could actually qualify for a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So my program is on low income, moderate income.
Okay,
the next slide. All right, so when you get a neighborhood stabilization program grant, you can only use it for certain things. And you're going to have to read that off for me.
Sure.
Celia.
Okay, the first one says purchase and redevelopment of foreclosed homes.
Okay, yeah, so that, and you can just roll right
through. Okay,
I don't have to explain them. They're kind of self-explanatory.
Oh, okay. You have purchased rehabilitation of abandoned homes, establish a land bank of foreclosed homes, demolish blighted structures, and redevelop vacant structures and properties.
So with the neighborhood stabilization program, you can use the funds for each of those categories. And what I'm looking to do is just focus on one category. I want to take just one thing to focus on and not spread ourselves thin. So we will need a few people to manage this program.
Exactly.
Right? We'll need somebody to vet the applicants. We'll need somebody to, some legal person to go through the contracts and the execution of the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll need a person who would inspect homes on a regular basis,
mm-hmm,
to make sure or you're not destroying it, that you're maintaining it, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we would need a crew to do it. Now, it doesn't have to be city employees. We can farm that out to a nonprofit,
mm-hmm,
and actually let them do it.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, they'd be compensated for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that money would come out of the enterprise fund as well.
Okay.
All right. So now, this is what happens with a neighborhood stabilization program grant. You can't just use it to demolish houses.
Mm-hmm.
You must have an end use for that property. You can't just do it and leave it there and vacate, like what the city of Alexandria is doing right now. You see, so we could never get that money because you can't just knock down a house and leave the lot vacant. You must do something with that lot. And the things that you can do is that you can put a new home up there. You can have a community park, or you can turn it into a park. But you can't leave it vacant. And that's what we're doing right now.
Okay.
Then 25% of the grant money must be used to provide housing for individuals and families whose income do not exceed 50% of the area median income. So if you look on the census, 2020 census, it'll give you the area median income. And so if you take half of that area median income, it's those persons that we must provide 25% of these grant funds to benefit them. Now, this is where my program is different. I want 100% to go after that same group. So it's 100% for that. That's 50% of the area median income, or the numbers I was giving you. The folks that work full-time but make minimum wage at 10.25, up to the ones that barely make a living wage of $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the target audience. That's the intended beneficiaries of this program. All right. So you're going to have to read that for me.
Okay. It says slum and blight removal cannot be the sole or primary use of the NSP grants. Okay. Hold up. I think you just went off.
Okay, yeah.
I see. Okay. Let's try it again. There we go. Okay. You're back. Okay.
You're going to have to have all the comprehensive solutions. So
okay.
It's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Just run through them, Selena.
All right. I'm going across. It says, establish an enterprise fund, establish a land bank of all adjudicated property, petition the court for a free and clear title, repartition lots if required, construct energy efficient affordable homes, first time homeowners with income less than $25,000, 15 year lease purchase, 0% interest, monthly payments equivalent to rent for a 2-bedroom apartment, repopulate the neighborhood, rebuild communities, reduces crime, and returns revenue back to the municipality.
Okay, so in a nutshell, that sums up the entire program.
Okay.
That's what it encompasses.
Okay.
So that's it.
That's it.
And that's one of the model homes I selected, and there are many. That was the one that I was going after, and there's several variations of that same one.
Okay. All right.
So
that's it. You did a good job. That was very good. So let me see what everybody's saying. I apologize, you guys, for the technical difficulties we're having. I don't mean for them to happen. We might have to do this again. We'll revisit again. I might have to use other equipment. But it was like right at the top of my mind. So I got to figure out how I can use my projector to get this on. I know everything was backwards. We'll work it the next time. I'll do better. Yes, I will do better. Okay. It says here, let's see. Oh, golly, it's a whole bunch of stuff. Okay. Demetrius Williams, you can call in. I told him to call. Okay, you guys call in if you still. I got 50 minutes to call in. You guys can call in if you want to. I want to call you in a minute. Okay, clicked on it. Did it at the beginning. Okay. The phone number to call in on is 563-999-3576. I got my laptop in my hand if you want to call in. As Reddix is over, the seer of the black folks in Alexandria, he always got to say something smart. Dadnet, let me see. Dadnet, boy. That's Nat making that statement. Okay. I hate this thing. Okay. It keeps going back. Let me do this. Okay. Okay, he says, Nat said, I figured it out now. If Reddix Washington would have voted for it, then that means the folks at the
Pentecostal church would be able to get all that land over there in his district. Okay, so Mr. Porter is a genius. Miss Harris said you're a genius. And it is a nice house. Miss Adrian said it's a nice house. And what's the number? 563-999-3576. I got it right here in my hand. So if you call, I'll see you come on my what's the name? 563-999-3576. Okay? So if you want to call in and ask a question, Mr. Porter, we're going to let them get them questions in. I think this will be a great idea. You have the right people over it, manning it. I think it would help a lot of people. I think in the process, there also should be classes. And I'm talking about maintenance classes, how to take care of your house. It's not to make anybody feel bad that they don't know how to maintain a home. But if you don't own a home, do not understand how important it is to take care of it. We see these big, fancy, pretty homes. It takes a lot to take care of a home. If you've never owned a home before, you do not understand the trouble sometimes it can come into. If you have a maintenance problem, say your tub overflows, guess what? You can't call your mortgage company and say, send somebody out here. You got to fix that yourself. You got to replace things in your home, your faucets, your tubs, your toilets, all that stuff. You got to take care of yourself. Nobody can do that for you. You have to do it. And if you can't do it, you got to pay somebody to do it, okay? So owning a home is not, like he said, owning a home is not an easy thing to do. You have to have the patience and you got to have the know-how to do it. Maintaining your lawn, all that kind of stuff. If a window breaks, you can't call your mortgage and say, hey, window broke, can you come fix it? No, you got to pay for the window. And you got to tell your kids, you can't be tearing up stuff in here because pay for that. You constantly remind them that you got to pay for them. They're not going to tear up stuff so easy. And you got to understand, you're in the house 15 years. A lot of stuff can happen in a house 15 years, okay? So you got to maintain it. Anything that goes wrong, fix it as you can. Don't wait and linger on and not get it fixed when you can, because what happens is it stays there and it starts deteriorating, and it starts making the rest of the house look bad, because when one thing is wrong with the house, it can affect the rest of the house. So you have to maintain. I think giving classes on how to maintain a home is very important, because you can get the best people in the house, but the best people in the house don't know how to do nothing, don't know how to repair nothing or nothing. So you wanna be able to provide some type of training and a type of maintenance, them how to do the maintenance on their homes. If your roof go bad, guess what? You got to replace that roof. You can't ask your mortgage company to come in. You can't ask the city, because the city is going to be a mortgage company. They can't come in and fix your roof. You got to pay for that. And it's so important to keep insurance. It's so important to keep insurance at your house, because anything, just like your car. You tear up a car, you're right, you don't have a choice. If you tear up your car and you don't have insurance on it, guess what? You are out of a car. Now, just imagine if you do that with a house. All that work and all that money that you don't put in, and you turn around and not have insurance on it, and the weather or something destroys it, you're not going to get that back. And people do it all the time.
You would be surprised how many people
that don't have house insurance. Yeah, they don't have any house insurance.
Because they want something like they automatically, they're going to just kick in.
Exactly. You put it to it. Think about it like this. You go to a job every day and you work that job and you give that job everything you got to make sure you can maintain it. That's what you have to do with your house. You do it, so many young people do it with your cars. Your car got to look this way, got to smell this way. Do your home the same way. Do your home the exact same way that you would treat anything.
I've seen some nice cars with these expensive rims.
Mm-hmm.
With drive up to
it. They automatically do it. When they know it's scared, they're going to scare. Yeah, they're going
to
do it.
Yeah. So
I used to make people drive up to on the carport where the house is falling down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice car, but it's sitting with the roof. The carport is about to fall on top of it. So you guys, so there need to be some training. If you, I think it would be mandatory if you purchase a home that you go through a training before you move into it. That's what I mean, I'm sorry. I think that would help out. And if everybody in that neighborhood, 20 families, know how to maintain their homes, I promise you they will appreciate them better and help each other out. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hold up, you guys. Let me get him in. He had his hands up. I'm sorry, man. I was rambling up. I was talking. I didn't see you.
I understand. I understand. How y'all doing tonight?
Hello?
Hello. Can y'all hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I don't know why I can't hear. Okay.
I'm talking.
Nat.
Hello? I'm here.
Nat, call back in because I can't hear you, baby.
Hello? Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
No, I got him. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. That was my fault, probably. I want to talk about the ownership of houses and the kids in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Hello?
I hear you.
Okay, do you know how it would feel for those kids to know that they got a place for at least 15 years?
Yeah.
You
that
think
would
about
be wonderful.
It. We ain't got to worry about getting kicked out. We don't have to worry about the rain coming through the roof on us. My mama buying a house.
That's true.
That's stability.
That's stability.
You got stability.
That's right.
When you got stability, you got comfort.
Yep.
And when you got comfort, you could concentrate on something else. You could concentrate on the schoolwork then.
That's right.
Then you don't have to worry about getting a job to make sure help mama pay bills.
That's right.
You see, he done messed up, you know, he done messed up a lot of people. I'm not saying him by himself because, you know, it just wasn't just him. But he lived in his daddy's house rent-free.
Say that again?
He lived in his. I say Reddick's living his daddy house rent free.
Oh, he Reddick's living in daddy house rent free. So he don't have don't really have concern about other people having a place to stay.
Yes. You see, so that it's embarrassing to as a race for him to even say no. It's something like Biden when they say if you gotta think about voting for me, you're not black. He shouldn't have thought about doing that. He should have just said, hey, yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
So what is he really doing for the black folks? If somebody could show me what that boy is doing for black folks.
Yeah.
I give him a $100 bill, cash, a blue $100 bill, a brand new one.
Yeah.
I just got paid. I give it to him. He's not doing nothing. He's taking the resources, putting it on the other side of town. And then he's taking future resources and saying, no, you can't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Because
and
you got
cool
to remember, and we talk about it all the time, we dig it in the ground, we talk about it constantly. We gave $6.53 million for a sports complex. And they turned around and denied Mr. Porter from getting $3.5 million. $6.53 billion for a sports complex compared to $3.5 million for some housing.
And you're going to get that money back from the houses.
Y'all, you see how that don't make no sense?
And you're going to get that money back from the houses. You're not going to get that money back from Johnny Downs.
You're going to get nothing back from that Johnny Downs because Johnny Downs ain't making no money down. It ain't making no money down.
Thank you. And see,
so you
if
see
every
that
black
no
folk,
priorities anywhere. The priorities are not in the right place.
If
and
every
not,
black person. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Hello? Yeah, go
if
ahead.
If every black person in Alexandria that don't own a home is not at that next city council meeting and telling them that they need to bring this back up, then they don't need to say nothing about it.
That's
just
right.
Keep on staying right there on the plantation. Let's see what he done said is, Master, they don't need no house, Master. Let them stay in them huts like that, Master. That's what he done said. That's exactly what he done did. And see, people should be, I'm mad about it, and I own a home.
Yep.
And what he just did, I got sisters and brothers live over there. They could probably
that could
own
benefit
a home.
From that. Yeah.
Smell. Exactly. And what he did just told them people, Master, they don't need no house, Master. Oh, sir, let them stay right here, sir. Let them live for you, sir. Exactly what he did. Exactly.
Yep.
Everybody in Alexandria should be mad about this and demanding something. But you know what? They're not going to say nothing about it.
Yeah.
They're not going to do a damn thing about it. I ain't going to say excuse my language.
The priority is having a bunch of concerts, mud bashes, Ciroc parties. That's more important.
Yeah.
You need to be hitting up them for money for that. You don't need to hit them up for money that's going to keep a roof over someone's head, help somebody be better, you know, create a world for our children to be in stable, like you said earlier, and a stable home, a warm home in the winter, and a cool home in the summer, being able to afford things, and just the whole thing, just owning something that you can say is yours. You know, we don't want that. How dare you? How dare you? You know?
And that's what we're 15 at. Years. 15 years. 15
it's
years,
yours,
though. That ain't 30 years.
30 years, that's 15. Yeah, you're right.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
15 years.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. You're right.
15.
That's awesome.
So you got kids while they're young.
Yeah.
They do 15 years. They graduate out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you got an empty nest, you can sell a house and move out and go on about your business.
Somewhere. And go somewhere else. Yep. You can sell the house and go somewhere else. That's right. You have money.
And
you build up your own
to the neighborhood.
And everything.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Rapids General is going to buy a whole lot of these blighted properties over there. Pentecostal is going to get some of these properties. And black men ain't going to have nothing. Ms. McCall, when you think about it, if I got to pay $800 to buy a house, well, at least it will say $800, if it is $800. I got an energy-sufficient house. I don't have to pay $600, $700 for lights.
Yep.
And gas and stuff like that. If I do, we got a problem. That means you're jipping me. You see, all the appliances are going to be energy efficient appliances.
Yeah.
And now I'm saving more if I rent a house for $700 and then got to pay $500 or $600 for lights.
Exactly.
What was he thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right.
What was he thinking? And people not going to get mad about it. People not going to get mad about it. They're gonna take it.
I think because they don't, a lot of times people don't understand stuff, so they don't respond. If they don't understand something, they're not going to respond to it. And they're going to pretend like they don't care, but they really do. They just don't understand it. And I think Mr. Poole did an excellent job in explaining it to them. And I think we should bring it up. And we're going to bring it up again, and because we need to drill this in their heads, it's way overdue for housing. You have a lot of blighted property in all three districts. All three of them have blighted property. You have, PCC has over 1,800 pieces of property in Alexandria. 1,800. Now, just imagine on every single piece of property you put a home. Just imagine being able to put a home on each and every piece of them properties.
What a difference it will make.
What a difference it'll make. It's not about gentrification because it's not about that. It's about making sure African Americans have a home, have a place to lay their heads, and their decent neighborhoods and safe environments. Their kids can go outside and play, and they can do things, and they can feel like they belong somewhere.
Exactly.
Because it's
not
there.
This is the plan, though, Mr. Carl. This is what we got to do. We got to make sure Greg Porter stay in there because I don't think he could bring it up for another 6 months. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't bring it up for another 6 months. My mistake.
Hey, Mr. Porter,
I ain't
can't
that smart.
Bring it up again for another 6 months?
I can't bring it up, and I will bring it up. It was not an ordinance.
Okay.
It was budget.
Okay.
Okay. And so I certainly introduce the ordinance. Now, should it not pass, then I cannot bring that exact same ordinance up for another 6 months.
Okay. Okay. So he said he can bring it back up again.
Okay, well, we need to make sure that the people understand to make sure Greg Porter stay in office.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get, the next time we have an election, we need to get somebody that thinks like Greg Porter. If you don't think like Greg Porter, you're not getting in here. Plain and simple.
And that's what you push.
You know, because that's what we're concerned about. You see, we're concerned about us. And when I asked that boy what was his plan for black people, you see, he didn't say nothing.
He didn't have a plan.
You see.
Because it was, shocked that he got in there. He didn't have a plan.
Yes, ma'am.
He was shocked that he got in there. That's why he didn't have a plan. And he still don't have a plan.
Yeah.
Still don't have
so
a plan.
We as black people, ma'am.
Y'all have a big plan to clean up the city. I don't understand that. I know over in Pineville, I know they do that big cleanup stuff over in Pineville, and they win awards all the time for having a clean city. So I don't know. I don't know what y'all doing over here in Alexandria.
Ms. McCall, they clean up one street in their neighborhood, Ms. McCall. They clean up Mary Street. That's the only street they clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest about it. They don't clean up their whole damn neighborhood, Ms. McCall. They clean one street. And they put ice cream and cookies and all that right there. And Lee Rubin come to pay a token to the black folk. Here I go right here. And guess what? That's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't be on Magnolia Street. They don't be on 15th. They don't be on Ashley. They don't be over there. They do one street, Ms. McCall.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't a neighborhood cleanup. It's a street cleanup. And it ain't even a whole block. It's just a couple of houses.
Yeah.
You see, they can pull the wood on somebody else's eyes, but they can't do it to me.
I don't think.
And if the black folks, ma'am.
I said I don't think there's a need for it. People need to clean up their own street.
But guess what? If I had a brand new house, I'd clean up my yard.
If I take pride in what I'm doing, you're right. Having pride in it, that's right.
Yeah. And you know what? That'll break some of the stuff because a lot of these people, parents didn't own houses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of their grandparents didn't own houses.
Yeah.
I was the first person in my family, besides my grandfather, to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I bought a house, my brother said, I want to be just like you. He bought a house on 28 East.
Mm-hmm.
Now my sister's going to buy a house. You see what they did?
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And he don't understand what he did.
Yeah.
And folks are going to be cool with it. And what Urban Cash say? What the report card at now? What the damn report card at now?
Yeah, wait a minute. Look, you guys, you know Urban Cash always have a report card. Where's the report card? I need a report card.
But I had a report card.
You hear me, Mr. Porter?
They had a report card before, but
that's what I'm saying. You need a report.
It was so. I don't know what scale they were grading on. Okay.
It was
totally backwards.
Yeah.
If you look at it, if you consider the reasons these folks voted against it, voted down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's on TV. It's on Channel 4.
It's on Channel 4. Two of you guys want to see it again.
Right. So, Chuck was saying it has too many moving parts. He said it was too complicated. It's not simple. It is complex, but it's not complicated. You know? It's not simple by the imagination, but it's not difficult to accomplish. Other cities have done this.
Mm-hmm.
It's, mine's a little bit different. I dropped some things. I added some things. But it's doable. We can do that. So his statement that it has too many moving parts is too complicated. Okay, that took him out of the game. Washington said a city would become a landlord. Okay, well, we already a landlord. We own the housing authority,
mm-hmm.
and we own other things that we rent to people. So, I mean, that's nothing different. You know?
Yeah.
But about that, that would be temporary, 15 years.
Yeah.
And then we're out. There's nothing wrong with the city being a landlord.
No, it's not.
Other cities are doing this exact program. Jim Ballard mentioned that the folks can afford it based on the salary range that I was working with. But the thing is, we didn't have the benefit of discussion, because if we could have discussed it,
mm-hmm.
it was really a very key point that he raised. How can someone who make minimum wage afford a house? Okay, well, this is how. You know, and we got organizations like Knocker, like some of these other institutions that assist people with mortgages. So it is dual, you know. And then Ruben, what was Ruben's comment as to why this didn't work? But here's the thing, folks. You've got two people who represent the entire city
mm-hmm.
on the board.
Yeah.
They're councilmen at large. They should have a fair and balanced approach to everything that comes up.
But
how does it benefit the entire city? But instead, time after time, they always vote against the interests of districts too.
Mm-hmm.
They always vote against them. So they turn that down. And folks got to understand, okay, they're not operating in your best interest. They're not trying to help you the way they help the districts that actually live in.
That's right.
You know, so we have to try and find a way to do it. The city should be the one doing this, but if we can't, I'm going to bring it before him again, and then the 6 months will pass. By that time, it's going to be another election, and whether I'm in there or not, I'm going to continue pursuing this, because on the outside, if we are fortunate enough to bring together a lot of people who could put up the money and make a generous donation, or if we can find 1,000 people who could put up a little bit of money, and we get there. So whatever we can do, we'll keep trying it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to try different ways to accomplish this goal.
Mm-hmm. Sounds awesome. Sounds awesome.
Have you saved my house, Mr. Porter?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Joe Porter was actually, it's sort of the same plan that we have right now, except houses were cheaper. Like I'm telling my baby, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because I grew up out here in Pine Quarter. Now I think we actually have four or five, maybe six homes in the Pine Quarters like this one that the city of Alexandria helped to pay for.
Wow.
It's the very same thing that you're talking about, and these homes look alike. light, but they have different colored brick on the front and different colored slate on the side and the back. But the house is, and we have 3 bedrooms, 2 full baths.
Wow.
And I think that's crazy how I don't know the square foot of my house. I think it's like 1469.
Okay.
Pan American engineers were the architects or whatever, you know, on the house. And I went to a first-time home set, and I've been in my house since 2003.
Wow.
Malcolm was the closing attorney on the house for me.
Wow.
The city paid like $13,000 for the down payment to help me with the house, and I paid $690.
Wow.
And I've been here, that's what, 18 years, probably.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I've been here. And I keep my house up. It's so very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
It's a lovely home.
Yes, it is.
And I've seen the other homes just like it throughout that same neighborhood. And see, so Kathy, that shows you how long this program's in existence.
Yeah.
And I would just like to recreate that. I'd like to bring it back. I would like to see resurgence.
Not to interrupt you, I'm just going to say this thing, but the part of the perks for accepting this house and moving here is because they wanted to revitalize this target area. So they made it affordable, like way more affordable for me.
Hold up. Uh-oh, they're gone. Oops, I'm sorry. Let me see. Give me a second. Let me see if I can bring them over here. I went completely out. I apologize, you guys. Let me see. If I can bring it over here. Still there, Nat?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, let me...
Hello?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Let's see if I can bring them up in here. Video. Probably not going to let me get in here now. Can't get them to call in. We went completely off. Okay. Anyway. Oh. Let me see if I can get them. Hold on. Let me see. Oh, I got Zoom on. Let me see something. I Zoom on everything. That's why I still got y'all smart. Sorry, let me take that off. Smart view. Disconnect. Okay. So it's going to go there. Okay, give me a second here. Let me see if I can get them back on. Join. Oh, here it goes. Let me see if it'll come back on over here. Nope. Oh, shoot. I forgot my meeting ID. Oh, shoot. Let me start a meeting. New meeting. Okay. No, cancel. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it'll let me get in. Okay. Let's see. Okay. All right. I can't get them to come over here. We in total darkness. All right. I can't even, let me see if I can get him on the phone, you guys. Give me a second. Invite them. Shoot. Yeah, went off. So look, can you call in at the 563 number?
Hey, you're breaking up.
563-999-3576.
563-999-3576.
And call in.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So while we're waiting for him to call in, you guys, I apologize. But as you can see, this is actually my projector right here. Let me close this out. Okay. This is my projector. This is how I connect the smartphone with, you can either do the Android or your smartphone. I mean, your iPhone. Okay. Give instructions on what my screen looks like. But when you connect them, that's what it looks like. Right there. That's how it looks. Let me turn on some light. Because if I don't turn on some light. Hold up. Okay. Now, some light, and then I need to get the remote control. I can't turn it off. That's all right. Oh. Okay, here we go. Mr. Porter. Oops. I keep forgetting this one ain't touched. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still.
Okay,
I'm back.
There we go. Okay, I apologize for that. My iPad actually went dead on me. It went completely dead, okay?
Oh, okay. It died. The iPad died.
It died on me. And it's plugged
okay.
up. I guess it didn't have enough charge in it. But anyway, so the presentation was great. Just going to have to, next time I do it, I'm going to have to find a way to reverse it or use my other, I got cameras and all that stuff. I might have to set it up that way this time. But I did that like at the third moment. Now, as we were talking, Miss Kathy, I got to get Miss Kathy to call in. You guys heard what Miss Kathy said about her home, what she did to purchase it. She said that the city of Alexandria actually helped her do it. And if it's been since 2003, how many years has she been in her home since 2003?
So that's 17, 18 years?
Oh, wow.
19, almost 19. So, yeah,
18. Yeah, so she's been in our home a long time, longer than some marriages, okay? And I've been in our home. I've sat in our home, and she has a beautiful home, very nice home. So it's possible. Anything that we put our minds to it, it's possible. Who was in office in 2003? Who was the mayor back then?
I guess that would have been Randolph, right?
Randolph, okay. Yeah, heard a lot of things.
I came here in 2005,
mm-hmm.
right after, and that's when Jack Roy got elected while I
okay.
was here. So it had to be Randolph.
Okay. Awesome. So, this is possible. Anything that we've said here and talked about is possible. It can happen. You just have to have the right people in place to make it happen. If you guys want to call in and join in on the call, 563-999-3576. We got about 18 more minutes on the show, on the radio show. Mr. Porter.
Hello.
Now, when you bring it up again, maybe we need to fill up that city council from each district.
Well, you know, that always helped, but I didn't want it to turn into a circus like it's been recently.
No. They don't need to say anything. They just need to be
Oh.
You don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
No. No. Them together, come in there to hear you speak about it again, because that'll be the fifth time you've talked about it, and they need to know those numbers. They need to know how many times.
Okay.
They need to know how many times that you've talked about this.
Yeah, that would be great. That would really be great.
So they need to show up in numbers. I'm here. You go ahead. You can talk.
Oh, well, when the folks want to give the team back in the office, they filled up the city councils. I think when folks wanted Jerry King back in office.
They sure did.
Remember, they filled it up. Yeah.
They filled it up.
They filled up the office. I don't see nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn about fair play. Fair change is no robbing. Fair exchange is no robbing. You see.
That's right.
But the thing is, we won't go because we really don't care. You know what they say?
Exactly.
Many people go do what they want to do.
Yep, that's what they all say. They keep saying that over and over again. That they do whatever they want to do. And that's their excuse for not wanting to fight. That's their excuse for not wanting to get in there.
Yeah, but let a party be thrown, though, so many people come there in. Let a Zydeco artist come to Alexandria, and I guarantee you it'd be sold out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But now they saying that you could possibly own a home, and you're not going to go to the same place because it's at the convention hall, so you're not going to go there.
Yes,
for that.
Exactly.
But you go to the same place for a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yep.
It's dumb, man. It's dumb and dumber. I mean, and
it's crazy.
You know, the joy of owning a home, you know how I look at it? I got one more month to stay here. That's how I think about
it.
If you rent for somebody, guess what? If they sell that house and they say you got to move, you got to go.
Yeah. And they can sell. That's another thing you guys keep in mind. When you're renting a house, if they want to sell that house, they can sell it right up under you. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see. But just the joy of knowing I could paint this room any color I want to.
Yep.
I don't have to ask Mr. Bobo nothing.
That's right.
I can paint this house hot pink. Mr. Bobo can't do nothing about it.
That's right.
You see. But with home ownership comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to want your house looking any kind of way. So, you know, you're not going to want other people's house looking any kind of way. When I was coming up in Dallas, when my grandfather cut the yard, it seemed like everybody on that street broke out a lawnmower for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody broke out of their lawnmower.
Well, you
understand
also, now, another thing to keep in mind, too, when you build those communities, you need, it's a whole street lighted property, and you took their property and changed it over. You need somebody to be monitoring that, too. So
yeah, it'll be something going on there.
Yeah, they need an HOA in place to let them know we can find you if you don't do your grass. We see it. You need that. People, you know, oh, they're trying to tell me what to do. This is my house, but you live in a neighborhood. You're not out here. I'm isolated. I don't have what happens in our land is our land. Ain't nobody gonna come tell us anything. When you're in a community, it's a whole different ball game. Everybody needs to be looking nice and neat. You need somebody in place that can do that. That can
make
say,
call.
Okay,
you know
what?
You know where I live at, right?
Yeah, I know where you live at.
If they play that music too loud, I'm going, it's only two people that go do that. I'm going to knock on their door. Hey, man, what I told you about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. You're right.
Hey, man, come on.
So you have to look at it from the standpoint that you have to, there's rules. When you move in, there's rules that you have to abide by. Because you're no longer renting where you can, and people, even when you rent, people think when they rent, it's power.
house, so they can tear it up. They can do whatever they want to the house. And I don't get that. That's not your home. That's not your property. No matter how mad you are with your landlord, tearing up his property is not the answer. It's not.
Yeah. And see, the young guys where I live at, they understand. I got to teach it to them because they didn't understand it. You know, and now that I've taught it to them, they're like, oh, now I understand. You know, hey, look, you know, if somebody want to come buy these houses, we got to make sure we get more than we paid for them.
That's right.
You know,
that's
this
right.
Is what we got to, this is what we got to do right here. And they're like, oh, I get it now, big dog. I understand it now. They didn't understand, they didn't know at first because they first-time homeowners. You know, so they didn't know.
Exactly.
So
you have to know, you have to want to take care of it. You don't know.
Yeah.
If you've never owned your own home, the ideal of driving up in your own driveway, put your car in a garage and shutting that doggone door down and locking everything down, going to your house, doing whatever. It's no better feeling than that. I'm telling y'all from experience.
Yeah.
No better feeling. Kathy can vouch for me. I'm trying to get her to call in. Vouch. Mr. Porter can vouch. You can vouch. Anybody on here can vouch. If you own your own stuff, you ain't got to worry about nobody doing. I guess we're about to say this, so you got, y'all going to have to find somewhere else to live. You ain't got to worry about that because it's yours.
Yeah.
It's yours.
And, you know, whoever thought that I'd be getting concrete pressurized?
Mm-hmm.
Concrete. Man, I never thought that I'd be pressurizing concrete. But, you know, when you own your own home.
Yeah.
And you see the difference. Oh, you know, pressure clean my concrete. I didn't get ready to do it, but it got done. You pressure washed it.
Exactly.
But it just feels a little better. It feels a little better.
Yeah, it does. Anything you do, anything you do to your home, it feels better.
Yeah,
if you want a pool, you got to pay for that pool. You got to make sure the insurance company know you're getting that pool because that's what I want, a pool.
Mm-hmm.
you got to know. Unless the house with one, that's all. Those are your things that you want to enjoy your home. You want to have. It's nothing greater than owning. I don't care what nobody. To me, that I can own something, and I'm ready to sell. I can sell the hell out of it.
And go, And thanks to the city council approving that $6.5 million to Johnny Downs. They put money in my pocket.
They put money in your pocket because of where you live at.
Now, did you notice the roads when you drove out there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You see, they smoothed out their roads. And see, people don't even know. Hey, look, man, I try to help y'all. This is really helping me. But, hey, y'all don't want to fight for y'allself, but, you know, Ms. McCall, it seemed like this man just—he put Alexander back 20 years when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now he got time; he got a chance to redeem himself.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it don't look too good on him.
Yeah,
you see. So maybe this might help him redeem himself because he really got to understand that you didn't hurt people generations. It got young couples out there that might want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And now they like neighborhoods, you know, because when you buy a house, all that breaking in the stuff, man, I'm calling the police on y'all. It ain't none of that stuff.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know who did it.
That's
No. I'm telling.
That's right.
Because see, people got tricked into River Bend. They got tricked into that. They told them that they'll be able to buy it, and now they can't buy it. So the people stuck.
They stuck.
You see,
that's
they
right.
got tricked.
They stuck. Mm-hmm.
And they was willing to buy the houses. They was willing to fall for that stuff.
And see, that's another thing that has to be fixed too. You have to fix that problem when you got people thinking that they're going to actually own that home in 15 years. And most likely, definitely have to have it in the contract, because if you don't, you can't take them to court if they breach that contract. I don't know what Riverbend did where they got away with it.
Well, see, what the plan was, they were going to stay in them, and then after 15 years, then they had the option to buy.
Oh.
That didn't make no damn sense.
So that's 30 years they in that house.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it might be more than that. Who knows how long they're going to tell you to take and pay for it.
That's right.
See, that was
that's
the plan.
Right.
You rent it for 30, 15 years, then you have the option to buy. When Mr. Porter is telling you, hey, you pay the house note for 15 years, and it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot beat that.
Yep. And by then, it should be another stream of revenue that the city can get. By then, in 15 years, you know, it's probably several streams of revenue that can come into the city if they're not beating the people, the businesses, or whoever's coming in, the organization that's coming in that's giving money to, you know, building the revenue up. You got 15 years that they have that chance that other things can come in, industries can come in.
Well, see, the industries look at home ownerships when they do those surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what they say about people who own homes? They got to work. They have to work. You
mm-hmm.
can't buy a house without no job.
Yep, that's right.
You,
so you have
saying?
To have.
Yeah. So they look at all that right there. You see, hey, I just don't know. It's sad for the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's real sad for the city. But I'm on a mission to make sure it gets straight for the city. Oh, yeah, I got to do it. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Mr. Porter, I'm sorry that you had to go through that. See, Mr. Porter, sometimes when you write, wrong got to come against you just to make sure you stay silent.
Yeah.
You see, it's just like, when in the Bible, you know, hey, man, if you God or you Jesus, do this, do that. Well, see, you don't have to answer to nobody, Mr. Porter, when you're doing right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to explain nothing to nobody when you're doing right. And when you're doing right, you can answer any question that they want you to answer. You don't have to hem and haw and all you got to do is pick up the plan right here. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Tell me what this plan is wrong in.
That's right.
And you can't find no wrong in that plan. I can't find no wrong in that plan.
Mm-mm.
You see, and people got to think about it. The way the price of wood and stuff going up, just that house be $210,000 later on.
Let me tell you. Yeah, I'm going to tell you an experience. I have two girlfriends that live in Texas, right? And both of them just bought their houses. Well, one is on her second house. The other one is on her third house, okay? So during this time when they were during COVID, right, they're getting their houses built, right? So they both, not too long ago, moved in their new houses, right? So one house, already her next door neighbor used to be the demo house, right? Okay? That house was sold at $1 million within this time. $1 million. So just imagine if she's sitting next door to $1 million house, what do you think her house is worth now? And in this time, in a matter of 3 or 4 months, what do you think her house is worth? Close
to $1 million.
Yeah,
it certainly went up.
Yeah. And my other friend the same way. She said their value of their house tripled in a matter of months.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
Newsflash, the report card that came out now. Ain't that something?
Oh, the report card? What's the report card say?
It said they got F's.
Everybody got F's?
Reddick's them. You hear me?
No, you said Reddick's got an F?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh. You need to make sure everybody see that.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. I just got a report card. Mr. Green sent it in to us. Ain't that something?
Put it out there so we can see it.
Yes, ma'am.
You got all
ain't that something?
Oh, wow. Mr. Green ain't no good.
Well, now, I wonder. Now, when did they find out their post card had to come out? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody was listening.
Yes, ma'am. Very well. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
Let me see. So the report card is in. Yes, Ms. Velma. The report card is in. Oh, boy. Whew. That's funny. Let's see.
Yep, it's in.
My phone is... Oh, Ms. Velma said her phone is about to die. Everything's about to die tonight. I don't know. Energy been sapped up. Hey, let me ask y'all something. Did you hear real quick? Did you hear about AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile went out? Did y'all hear about that?
No. I didn't hear that.
My phone didn't go out. Mm-mm. Yeah, they said it went out. It was a big power outage. I don't know. And then they said there was a blackout, a rolling blackout in New York.
Oh, that happened. That's how I got a new phone. Because one time when I was up there, my phone just did black. It just my phone just went out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're saying that happened. It was a rolling blackout. Did y'all hear also, we're going to get away from the housing thing. I think that was a great presentation. I think it's something that definitely needs to be brought up again and again and again until we get the answers and the solutions that we need to make. Happen. I saw the situation about Mike Tyson. Did y'all see that?
Yeah, but that's the story that we saw. We don't know the whole deal.
Mhm.
You see, we don't know the whole deal.
They showed the video. They said he was talking to the guy. The guy kept on talking to him. I guess he didn't want to talk to him no more. And he harassed him. He was just trying to get some money. So he took them hits.
Yeah. I wonder how they're going to... This is going to be a breakup now. Yeah, this is going to be a breakup already. And there's something... Now, Urban Cash knew about this. When? It's Thursday.
Oh, look at him. He's wrong. He's wrong for this. Mr. Ford is wrong. I mean, not Mr. Ford. I'm sorry. Green is wrong for this. Oh, my God. This has got to go. I have to put it on my page. Y'all wrong. Y'all wrong for that.
Mr. Carl, this is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this happened Tuesday.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm saying? So why in the hell people didn't know about it Tuesday night or Wednesday morning? Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody didn't say nothing about it.
That's right. Nobody didn't say nothing about it. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did that Libido podcast somewhere in Pluto know about it before Urban Cash? You see? It don't make sense.
Don't make sense.
Well, maybe he's scared to come outside with what happened to him. He got, you know, threatened. He may be scared to come outside and say something. but you see how we making people work, Ms. McCall?
Think about it. Yeah. And we ain't got to talk to him directly. It's an indirect talk that works. You don't have to talk to people directly. Just indirectly talk to them, and you get some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all. Watch it.
Something else, huh?
So now people can say I'm lying. Hey, y'all believe Evercast so much. Hey, now, I guess y'all got to believe on that them now, because here it is right here.
Yep.
So guess what, Ms. Carl? They really don't know because the votes really ain't in yet. So
yeah, the votes are, but when you get them in, he said, Mr. Porter said it'll be in next week. Then you pull out that again. I mean, all you got to do is keep showing them the numbers. Just keep showing them the numbers.
Oh, no.
All.
This is what I'm saying. Either they was there and did report it,
Mm-hmm.
Or they wasn't there, and they listening. It's one of the two.
Wow.
They looking or they listening. Think about
wow.
it. Either they were there and they didn't say nothing, or they listening and looking. That's all
mm-hmm.
it could be.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
Real quick, y'all,
yep.
and I'm going to let y'all go. So St. Landry Parish votes to remove Confederate monument, and people are upset about it?
Well,
you can't take
you know,
history
I was
by... Go ahead.
I was talking. Didn't all that ruckus and turmoil Brandon Odenmill caused about that Confederate flag, that Confederate statue in front of the courthouse... Well, ain't nobody said nothing about it since Reddit's gotten off.
Yeah. Yep.
Ain't that something?
Ain't heard a thing about it. Ain't that something?
Well, I tell you.
Mm. Somebody
yeah,
said you
to keep
can't change history by trying to erase it. You can only change history by learning from it. And then somebody said real quick, then read a book. You don't learn crap from statues. Somebody said, or ignoring the true history. Obviously, red states score lower than the average, sir. No, you read a book and not a revisionist one produced by Fox News or their lack of.
Yeah.
Are you referring to the red states being ignorant? Most of us are quite educated, and yes, we recognize an insult when we hear it. Oh, and thank you for your service. It's wonderful to hear from someone who has all the answers to the world's problems by blaming others while taking no part in the problem. So they was upset. I don't know what that meant. They saying it's not changing history if you remove the statue. Out of sight doesn't mean out of mind. I'm glad it's going to be donated to the Sons and Daughters of Confederate Soldier Organization. It should be safe there, and it will guarantee that those who don't appreciate it won't be able to vandalize it. Oh. Okay. So what happened to our statue being moved?
Oh, they left it alone.
Huh?
They left it alone.
Oh, they left it alone?
Yeah.
So it's,
and I'm reading
see
this.
How it's, how it went to the back, how they don't talk about it anymore?
Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, so they approved $700,000 for Johnny Downs.
Mm. What?
They approved $700,000 for Johnny Downs, they say.
Now, that could have went with that $3 million.
Well, they say they did the same day.
Did you approve that, Mr. Porter?
No, I voted against it. My proposal was to take the $1.175 million that was designated for the coach's VIP lounge at Johnny Downs. I wanted to move that into ditch closures so that we
uh-huh.
could close the ditches on Culpeper and Morris Street.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was Lee Rubin who made, because I did that as a budget amendment. I am the chairperson of the finance committee.
Mm-hmm.
But in the council meeting, Lee Rubin put forward a motion to take the money back and put it back
wow.
for Johnny Downs. So
wow.
and then so that was voted that. So now we don't have the money to do the ditch closures.
Wow.
Oh, well this guy that I don't know who reported this, he is reporting all wrong. He said in what most in the community is considered a disappointing outcome, the city council of Alexandria voted against a plan for $1.75 million in affordable housing in District 2. Proposed by
Oh,
Governor
my
Porter.
God.
He took
Who
it
reported
off.
That? Who reported that?
On UrbanCast. If you look at it and blow it up, They make it seem like Gerber Porter was just looking out for District 2. That's what they make it seem like. See, let me tell you something. I'm right 99% of the time. So if you look at that, it just seemed like Gerber Porter was only looking out for his district. And what that could make it seem like would be like, well, Reddick was saying, well, no, you just can't have it in your district.
Yeah.
Look at it, right? You see, if you look at it, that's what it make it seem like right there. You see? But it wasn't Ford.
Is anywhere in my program says it's strictly for District 2?
No, sir.
No. And it wouldn't make no sense for you to just do District 2 because District 2 is not the one to have all the blighted property.
That's right.
Y'all got houses in your area. That's what's so dumb about that comment.
Well, no, Ms. McCall, when you don't do your research and you go off of what you hear and not the whole thing, then that's when you get wrong.
Exactly.
They weren't listening. Other words, they weren't listening too good. So the reporter's just looking out houses for himself. No, no, no. That ain't how it go. Ain't that something?
Yep.
That's exactly what it says. Oh, my. Mr. Porter, man, look, you're doing a damn good job, and you're trying to do a damn good job. And if I stay in Alexandria, boy, buddy, we have a fight on our hand. Cause he just,
Listen to this. This is what somebody said. William T. TJ, I don't know who that is. He said, this clown tripping in the comments, shake my head. How would giving people affordable housing going to bring crime and drugs? This shit is literally everywhere, and some people need lower interest rates on homes. Everyone can't afford the ridiculous rates that these finance mortgage companies are offering. He won't let us. The ballpark is from the insurance claim from tornado damage. You can tell people don't. People are clueless.
Oh, he want to be a rapper. Don't pay him no sense. He want to be a rapper.
The damn insurance.
You know how much we eventually got from the insurance company? They don't want to talk about that. They will not mention that. We had to go back and find out what was the situation with the insurance company. So they gave us $1.1 million to start off with right after the tornado hit. And we've been supposedly Shane Williams and that and legal teams been negotiating with the insurance company all that time, and they ended up with another $250,000, and that was all we got, $1,350,000.
Oh my God!
And they're saying that place was worth like $7 million, but the insurance company said no, it isn't. This is all we're going to give you, and that's it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so this guy said, Bryce Gather said, it is clear you haven't told this guy named Sean Stevens. He said, it is clear you haven't followed the council meeting, so keep your false information to yourself. Oh, Lord have mercy. C. Ray Lewis, Mr. Porter tagged you in this comment on UrbanCast.
Okay, I think they blocked me a long time ago during the recall, so I don't get anything from them.
Yeah, we blocked. We can't do that.
All of us are blocked.
Yeah, we blocked.
We know we're going to tear their tail up if we go over there. They know it. That's why they blocked us.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, William T., he's just trying to be a hero rapper. You 40 years old trying to be a rapper. That goes to, you know how it is. Still trying to do that. You too grown. You need to be trying to get some benefits, man. Get your teeth fixed up, man. But, you know, hey, once again, they got their crowd. And if he don't understand the value of home ownership, well, that's on him. Because if you own the house, you're going to watch what your kids do, and you're going to watch your property. You're going to take care of your property. You ain't going to have old mattresses outside of your property and trash cans outside of your property. You're going to clean up your property. And then you would want your neighborhood to look like the other side of town. And then you worried about crime. You damn fool. That don't make no – see, that's how you know they really don't understand what's going on. You see, them people – neighborhood look nice because they own them houses over there. And they know when they get ready to move further out of the country, out of the city limits, they can get more for them houses because the neighborhood is decent.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on the value of a home. If his house sells for $200,000, well, my house got to be in that close range too, because all I got to do is put a little paint here and put a little paint there, and I can move out. So if you don't understand that, that's him. You see, kids are comfortable. Man, mama, we buying a house. We don't rent no house, man. No. I like the stuff on them, man. No, we all right over here. Might not have the money in the refrigerator, but we all right. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that. You see, the ownership, man, that's comfort. That's comfort, y'all. That's I'm not understanding the thinking process. That's comfort. Do you know how many times we had a Dodge and Rick Man we was coming up? Hey, my man here. Yeah, get off my porch. my man here. Hey, when she going to be there? I don't know. She's going out of town. Now, we 12 years old telling the man there. You know, that's embarrassing. Yeah, but it's the truth, though, Mr. McCall. You know, tell the man here. We lying early, you know. What if we own the house?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get into a bind, you know, you just can't get kicked out the first month you miss the rent. You know, you got time to build it, you know, get back on your feet.
Right.
Right. And you're gonna be determined to make sure that you don't try to miss a payment if you can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what?
Because
if home ownership ain't that don't mean that much, tell everybody to watch A Raisin in the Sun.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
The movie.
That's what they need to watch. Raising in the Sun.
Yeah. Yes.
Or the new one with Puff Daddy on there. Either one of them. It don't even matter. Watch Raising in the Sun. That'll show you how valuable and what it means to own a home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You see, what'd you do with the money? I lost the money, Mama. Never, and I don't matter. I'm going to shoot you. You know, I'm going to shoot you. You lost all that money. But it was that man's dream to put his family in a home. I think that's what the insurance money is for, to put him in a home.
That's right.
A home. He could have dreamed about owning a car. He could have dreamed about getting a boat, but he wanted his family to own a home.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bad when they made a movie out of owning a home. Because that's what the whole movie was really about. Everybody stand in this one-room house, and now we got a little money to own a home.
Yeah. And sharing a communal bathroom down the hall.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's right.
And now you got two. Mr. Porter, let me tell y'all something. When I bring people to my house, they swear to God, excuse my language, they swear I live like the white people. And they don't know it's black people out there.
Okay.
Mr. Porter, they swear that I live like white people. I'm telling you, this is what they say. This is what they say. Man, you look like the white people out here. Where white people at? You got a black man there, right there. And we just live right where we live at. But it's different from what they see.
Yeah.
So you don't think they're going to take care of Mr. Porter. The kids will take care of him because guess what? They care about their house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right.
You know, so I'm gonna cut my yard. You know, my son used to cut the grass 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. You know, he took pride in that.
Yeah.
And they don't think owning a home. Well, what they gonna do with crime? Because guess what? If you're a criminal, the only way you're gonna be out here shooting and stuff if your baby mama girlfriend to let you stay with her while she buying the house.
Yeah.
You see? And, you know,
Why is she buying a house? Because if you're a working man, you ain't got time to be out there doing all that, Mr. Porter.
Right, that's right.
What
yeah.
working man got time to be out there shooting and chasing people with guns and running from police? I don't know a working man to do that.
No.
Nope.
So that's the mindset. The mindset is different now for what they got to do with crime. Okay, well, ask this. What city councilman could go out there and stop crime? I'd like to know that.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. You see? Yeah, you think the city councilman finna put a bulletproof vest on and walk down the streets? I tell you what. If you're so concerned about crime, you go stop it.
That's
yeah,
right.
right.
You stop it. That's right.
You
stop it.
Mr. Porter, y'all can't do nothing about that, Mr. Porter. Only thing
no,
y'all can
no,
do
we
is
don't.
Stop. Nah.
Just like they said that a few meetings ago when they was wondering why we not out there fighting crime. We don't have a badge, we don't have a gun, and we definitely don't have the authority to go out and do that. So
that's, right.
that's not the councilman's job. Just like it's not the councilman's job to cut grass. It's not the councilman's job to pick up trash and debris. You know, now if our departments don't have enough equipment to do it, that's our job to allocate the money. If they don't have enough personnel, that's our job to add to the budget so we can hire more people. You know, but folks who say those things, they don't understand how civic government works.
They
just
should stay out of
don't
it.
Understand.
Well,
and they
you see, here's the thing.
It.
You tell them, okay, we're going to try to fight crime. We're going to put a curfew in effect. And guess what they're going to say? Why are you messing with Why you got to put a curfew in effect? Why you got to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you want me to do? Because I'm not going to go out there and be no Superman. I got a family. I'm not going to tell y'all to stop shooting guns. I'm going to tell y'all from right here, y'all quit shooting them guns. But I'm not going to get out there and walk up down the street and try to be no man. All the heroes died at the end of the movie. No, man. No, man. So what do y'all look like getting out there and doing that? What do y'all look like going to every crime scene? Every time something happens, you got to go out there. What you going to do? What are you going to do getting up out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Porter, somebody get killed? They still dead, Mr. Porter.
Yeah, right.
And you ain't, and guess what? You're not Jesus. You can't bring them back.
Yeah.
Nope.
Them people, they done made up their mind to shoot that person for you. No. So don't you get up there talking about you, man. Don't you get up there talking about you going to go out there and do something about it. Yeah, Mr. Porter, I ain't coming with you. I'm going to stay right where my house. You know, do what you can from where you at, Mr. Porter. Because other than that, man, you just can't do nothing about it. And anybody says you can is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got it wrong.
You know,
right.
Yeah, they got it wrong, very wrong. But you try to put a curfew down and see what they say. Well, that ain't right. What about them kids over there? No. I'm trying to do something. So you can't win. You see, they don't understand that we don't have enough police, right?
Right.
My son graduated from college May 7th from Mississippi Valley. And he's graduating in criminal justice. Say, buddy, you can't stay here. They don't pay enough. They don't pay enough for the paper right there. You got to go somewhere else. Yeah, wherever you got to go. They had to go make sure you go. But, Mr. Porter, they paid them boys $42,000, Mr. Porter.
Okay.
$42,000.
Yeah.
Mr. Porter, them people out there shooting big old guns, Mr. Porter.
Right.
Did you see the video
right.
of them boys shooting? They shooting.
I
saw it. Sound.
I'm
not
going to
do that
it,
for $42,000.
Right. right.
No.
Yeah.
I'm going the other way. $42,000. And they say you got other incentives. So I guess you got to work 12 and 13, 14 hours to make a living. That ain't how it's supposed to go, Mr. Porter.
Yeah. Now,
I'm going to give you 8 and I'm going home. 8 or 10, I'm going home.
Yeah.
You know. 12, 13, driving people to school buses and stuff like that to football games? No. It ain't worth it. They need to be trying to tell the people to get the police income up so it will make people attracted to come to Alexandria being police officers.
You see, that makes sense to me. You see, so if you got a lot of people wanting to come to Alexandria to be police because of the money, hey, you might work out something right there. But 42,000, Mr. Porter, let me tell you something. You can get a job at McDonald's and come closing there. You might make 25. Wow. But 42? My wife said the only thing they got is benefits when you get shot or killed. Can't do it. And they ain't got the police. They don't have them. And then when somebody make a mistake and police make a mistake and shoot somebody or beat them, them people don't, they kids. Most of them police on their force, Mr. Porter, are kids. They are kids.
Yeah.
They mind really ain't wrapped around their brain already. Like they got a, there's so much people don't understand about it. That they taking on anything they can get just to try to make somebody happy. You know. They can't, and you can't trust the state police. They killing people and covering it up all the way to the governor's office. So, hell, man.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
It's sad. But home ownership don't mean that much, though. Yeah, see, we start paying home ownership, you know, you get to think about taxes. You see, you can think about all that stuff right there. Home ownership. You get to write this off on your taxes. Okay, well. I got escrow. I got to have insurance. A lot of people don't want to own homes because they have to have responsibility, and they don't want it. That's the bottom line to it, Ms. McCall.
Yeah.
I had a cousin told me, why would I go buy a house with my rent $10 a month here?
Ooh.
All right. Why would I go buy a house with my rent $10 a month here? Ain't that something? So what you going to tell a child? Same thing. You see?
That's crazy.
And then you better hide your boyfriend clothes when the people come check. Hey, put his clothes on. No, they can't see that. Hide the boyfriend clothes.
Yeah.
You too. You're getting too deep.
I believe Mr. Carl, I'd have been there, though. You see, I can only talk about what I've been through. You see? You know, I can't talk about nothing else. I can't talk about being rich because I ain't rich. But that right there, I can talk about it all day long. All day long. His clothes don't supposed to be here. What you doing? You commit a crime when you got a man stay with you and helping you. But they not paying too much money, though. They just make sure you got a house over your head. And answer this question. Why they don't have no affordable housing on Jackson Street Extension? or affordable housing on 28 West. Why don't move people out there?
Yeah. All right.
You see, so.
That's right.
Well, y'all take it easy. Y'all take good for the night. I got to go to Georgia.
Well, you drive
safely. I'll be on my way to Georgia in about 2 weeks.
Yes, ma'am. I might see you out there.
Yeah, you might see me out there. So. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I gotta go to Columbia tonight. Where in the morning?
You get go where?
Do Columbia. I gotta go to Winder, Georgia. A little small town.
Yeah.
That makes soap.
Okay, cool.
Oh, if y'all knew they put in soap, y'all wouldn't want to use soap no more. Lord.
Do what now?
Anyway. If y'all knew what they put in soap, y'all would not want to use it anymore.
Soap?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, they put animal fat in it?
They put everything on in that stuff. You'd do better just standing in the rain and then let the rain hit you. Trust me.
I know if they put in hot dogs and lunch meat. I ain't going to say nothing, but I do know. I used to work at Elridge Farms in Kansas. I know exactly what they put in.
Anything that's left over.
And I love me some hot dogs now.
No. Well, y'all take it easy for tonight.
Okay.
All right, you drive safely.
Yeah, be
all
right,
you take it easy.
All right, you guys, good night. Thank you guys for hanging out with us with our rigged up Can We Be Friends show. I'm going to try to get better.
All right.
It was fun. I learned a lot. That was, like I said, that's an excellent presentation. I can't wait for you to bring it up. I hope people are paying attention, and I hope they come out and support you. And Urban Cass, can I correct you on something? He did not say that it was just only for his district. He was talking about all blighted property, which consists of districts 1, 2, and 3, okay? So stop making it sound like he was only thinking about District 2. That's what y'all would have done. That's not what Mr. Porter would have done, okay? So keep that in mind when y'all trying to make it sound like Mr. Porter is trying to be selfish. He's not being selfish. And I deleted that proposition for us to for Irving Cass to unblock us. You ain't got to unblock Universal Collective Network crew. We fine. We fine over here, okay? Because we're going to get you either way it goes. If you're saying something crazy, we're going to get you anyway. So, all right. So, you guys have a great night. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thank you for our panel for coming in. Again, I apologize for the mishap with the technology. But, hey, we do this all the time. We work it through, and we got the good stuff out, and that was important. Good night, you guys. Love you. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. End.